2 Corinthians 1, spirit within and spirit upon, verse 18 to 21, we read that earlier. And then we said that in 21, now that which established us with you in Christ is the word Bebahos, that is, he brings it to pass. He ratifies it. What was said, he has now done. So that's why he is that anointed one, the Christ, the anointed of God. That's the better way to put verse 21. Now, the word Bebahos means to ratify, to bring to pass. Then, look at that 22. Who has sealed us? We've studied that word, but just good to go over it again. It's the word sphragizo, it's a verb. S-P-H-R-A-G-I-Z-O, which he used later on again in chapter 5, verse 5. He has sealed us. And it's from the word sphragis, which is a noun, S-P-H-R-A-G-I-S, where you will find in Ephesians 1, 13, you were sealed, that's the sphragizo actually, sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, Ephesians 4:30, where you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now look at the word sphragis and let's see it's the noun, Romans 4:11. I told you it means a proof. So the proof of that anointing of Jesus, the proof of that Bebahos, the faithfulness found in what Christ has done, is the seal. Romans 4:11, the word sphragis is where you have seal. And he received the sign of circumcision. That's the word. A seal of righteousness, of the faith which he had been yet uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them. Also, 1 Corinthians 9 verse 2. So it's a proof. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 2. If I be not an apostle unto others, ye doubtless I am to you. For the seal of my apostleship, the proof of my apostleship is you. 2 Timothy 2, 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this proof. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So this proof. So that means the proof that Jesus has fulfilled the promises is the indwelling of the Spirit. The proof that he has fulfilled the promises that was made in the Old Testament is the indwelling of the Spirit. So we can put it together and say it like this, that the New Testament is the Spirit within. What is called the New Testament is the Spirit within. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. Sorry, verse 5. I'll start from 3. For as much as we are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. So trust have we through Christ to Godward. Then look at verse 6. Who has also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. See the consistency of the word Spirit from verse 3, then verse 6. Then he calls it again in verse 8, the ministration of the Spirit. Then he calls it in verse 9, of righteousness. So look at the consistency of the Spirit. Then, which is found in Christ, in verse 14. Then in verse 16. Nevertheless, when you shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, verse 17. The Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is that Spirit. Then it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, verse 18, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changing the same image from glory to glory, even as by what? So you can call the right Spirit of Lord. That you can safely call the New Testament the Spirit within. The New Testament is the Spirit within. So when you reduce the New Testament to symbols of wine and bread and all those things, you are really messing things up. The New Testament is the Spirit within. And so when Jeremiah prophesied, I will write my laws in their hearts, you know, and put them in their minds, you know, and they will no man say to his neighbor, know the Lord, for they shall know me, I'll be to them and be to me people. No man shall know the Lord, for he shall know me from the least of them to the greatest. Obviously, that is the Spirit within. I saw someone was trying to explain that verse, said, it will write business principles into your mind. Some guys are heavy, man. Just like Pastor would say, it's not just what they say that startles you. It's not even how they say that startles you. It is why they even said it at all. It's why did you think like that? You get it? So embedded within the man born again is that new covenant. You know, that the new covenant is the Spirit within, which is sonship. So whatever the old covenant shielded in its types and shadows remains the Spirit within. The strength of the old covenant are those elements, all the tables of stone, everything. Everything they were writing and doing was about in man, what God would do in man. And then the temple and all that, where they will approach and all that. Eventually, it was obvious that God was going to be the one that will approach man and dwell in man. You know? And then the temple they were going to worship was actually it shielded away the fact that man is promised to be that temple of God. So the New Testament is the Spirit within. That's the new covenant. It's the Spirit within. So we have two key prophecies that we're going to look at. Don't forget, we closed the last session by saying this. That everything Jesus said about upon was after he had risen from the dead. And more than that, there was more than that. I'm going to show you something now. It's not just that. You know, so he never side by side mentioned within and upon. He didn't say them at the same time. So he wasn't expecting us to do a dichotomy. I know a lot of people have, you know, I've said this, you know, in different ways. E.W. Kenyon did say that when you are born again, you have the life of God, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You know, and it's because of this background. You know, sometimes your background encroaches upon even your theological disposition. Whatever you have heard for a long time, you know, he didn't used to believe that speaking in tongues was for all believers. In fact, at the point he stopped speaking in tongues, you know, with all that light he had. But I found out that he was still speaking in tongues because when they asked him to fill a form a few weeks or years before he died, they said that he used to speak with tongues. He said yes. But in two of his books, he said that tongues is not for everybody, that it's a gift, that the proof of the indwelling of a spirit. He said a couple of things, but you know, the basic truth was that that background didn't leave him because he was a free will Baptist, and they had that you know background teaching. There are people that with all they know, a righteousness consciousness, the sin consciousness that is still somewhere in the belly. There is still some consciousness. You know, I think I told you this about myself. You know, let me use myself as an example. And even some things that some of us, you still look at some things from that your old mindset. I will still say, why? But I won't say it out. So if I say it out, even myself, I will not believe myself that I said it, but I know it's there. So he was very vocal, you know, about things like that. So he used to say that there is the Holy Spirit that the man receives when he's not born again. When you are born again, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You only have Christ in you. You know, you find that funny, right? From such a very outstanding teacher of God's word. Some others do have them. We all have stuff like that. So, that Jesus didn't save them together. Okay, so that shows you that one, that there was a reason why he said the other one. And we found out that in his commentaries, he was much more detailed about this, the new birth, the spirit within, than talking about upon. And I've said to you, the word upon doesn't mean on your head or your forehead. It's just like putting on a cloth. That something others will what? See. At your instance. That's the word upon. Epi. We'll see it shortly. We're going to do a contrast. Now, there were two key prophecies in the Old Testament that come to mind. And we used that earlier in this series as well. Look at Ezekiel 36. Verse 26 to 28, which I'm not going to go into much today. Ezekiel 36, 26 to 28. Isaiah 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, say water again, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stone out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. 27, Ezekiel 36. I will put my spirit upon you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now, Joel 2. Because whether it's Jesus or the apostles, we all know that they were speaking from the prophets, right? Joel 2. Now, watch this. Shall come to pass, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Now, the word I is very silent, it's inferred. Okay? It's inferred. I will give you, now, so there are two words. Again, just like that, just like we said, there's the epi, which is upon, E-P-I. Then there's in. Ezekiel 36, 26, 28, which is E-N-N. E. In. Now pay attention here. I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. It looks like this. I'll take water and then put it on your head or something like that. You know, that's a bit of grammar. But you notice, like I said, the word I is silent. Now, a better Greek translation puts it like this. After this will my spirit pour, or after this will pour my spirit. After this will my spirit pour, or after this will pour my spirit. Now, if I say I will pour my spirit, and I say my spirit will pour, it changes the narrative. Very well. Listen carefully. This is very vital. By taking the word I away, which is, like I said, silent, it was just put there for better rendering, but the word will, okay, stays on its own. Okay? So, the word pour is the Hebrew word shapak, S-H-A-P-H-A-K. It's used 1,151 times. No, 115 times, sorry. It means to put off, to shed, or to cast. Now, it's used for something that is visible. To pour out. It's an action. It's an emotion. Something that is seen. Pour out. You hear things like, his anger was poured. His fury was poured. You will see an effect. So every time you see the word shapak, you need to see what will be seen. Is that pouring? The word upon is the Hebrew word al. A-L. Same thing as the word epi. It means on account of. That is, my spirit will pour on account of all flesh, or through. So all flesh there is not monkeys and donkeys. All flesh there, it tells you what the all flesh is. Male and female. All you need to just do is read and see it mentions sons and daughters, men, young and old, servants and handmaidens. So, watch this now. There will be an outpour of my spirit from all flesh. Is that better? Is that better? Okay. There will be an outpour from my spirit through all flesh. So he's not talking about the spirit being poured out. He's talking about a pouring from the spirit. Just pay attention to that. Ezekiel 36. A new heart. I'm just going to focus on something here because I don't want to turn to Ezekiel today. A new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within. The word within there is very clear. It's the word quereb. Q-E-R-E-B. It means inward part. Inward part. You see this in Genesis 18:12. Quereb. Sarah laughed within herself. And 24. Within the city. Then Genesis 25:22. I think I have something there. 25:22. Within her. So, enclosed within a man. Okay, basically. So, that's why the next word he uses is a new heart, which is the word leb. Leb is used for something inside. Notice the difference. Joel said, prophesy. Which is what? The mouth. You know you can't prophesy by seeing. Okay? You can't prophesy by thinking. Prophesy is an action. So, the pouring is the prophesying. Who's following what I'm saying here? Are you listening? Uh-huh. So, the prophesying is that pouring. But in this instance, it doesn't say mouth. It says heart. Which is the word leb. Same word kardia in the Greek. Heart. So, one refers to God's action. I will put my feet within you. I will take away the new birth, the stone out of your flesh, and put my spirit, and I will cause you to walk. The other one says, they shall what? Prophesy. The action is on whose part there? Who's following what I say here? It's on whose part? Very good. So, obviously, one is dependent on the other. So it says the lip, which is the heart. The one says the mouth. You don't communicate with people with your heart. But your heart is your life. That is who you are. But you communicate with people with your mouth. So obviously, Joel was dealing with ministry. Who's following this? Are you following this? Joel was dealing with ministry. Ezekiel was dealing with the new birth. But you can't have Joel 2:28 outside of Ezekiel 36:26-27. Is it clear? You know, all those prophets walk together. Look at Luke 24. Jesus said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, all that the prophets have spoken. So Jesus, in the teaching ministry, took all they said the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow after. So look at me, please. So the glory in the sufferings of Christ, which is the resurrection, did it include the ministry of the saints? Huh? Okay. You can see why Peter now quoted Joel. Are you following this? So the things concerning himself, things, events. Luke 24:44, which we are written in the law of Moses, in the Psalms and the prophets, concerning me, the glory that shall follow. So let's go back again to John 14. So Joel was referring to man's action. Ezekiel was referring to God's action. The primary work in Joel will be man. But we'll see, we'll qualify that shortly. The primary work in Ezekiel is God, the new birth. So John 14, I think someone was asking that why is it that many statements in the Old Testament, when we interpret them, they are usually not within the context. That's why it's called mousterion. I believe we have explained this over and over again. And in case you can get the, what's that, what's that conference teaching again? What the gospel reveals. Okay. John 14. John 14 to 16. So that I won't say. John 14 verse 16. Abide with you. Verse 17 says he will dwell in you. And that is similar to Quereb. In. John 14:20, Quereb, in you. John 14:16-17, Quereb, in you. John, that is the same thing as Ezekiel 36. But look at Luke 24, which is similar to Acts 1:8. So, Luke 24, 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. That's Joel 2, right? Is that Joel 2? So when you see the promise, always qualify which one. Okay? So, upon you, verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. 47, shall be preached in my name. Shall be preached. So the context here is to be a witness, an evidence, a proof, to be an announcer. Whereas John 14 is fellowship or relationship. You will know I am in my Father. My Father is in me. I am in you and you are in me. Fellowship. That is identification. Who you are. Okay? So, the spirit in is who we are. We're sons, we're in God, we're in the Father. That's who we are. That is the new birth. So, obviously, recognizing the spirit within will be the reason for spiritual growth. Is that clear? Huh? Is that clear? Recognizing, identifying, and for use of words, allow me to say this for now temporarily, walking in the spirit within will be spiritual growth. Allow me to use that word. Walking in and with the spirit within will be spiritual growth. You will know. You will know. I am in you. You will know. You will know. Which is typical of all the Pauline prayers. That you may know. So, recognizing the spirit within is what spiritual growth is built upon. You will know, which is progressive, John 14, 20. Again, look at that Luke 24 again. We said, Luke 24, 47. We have to capture the things Jesus said. Repentance and remission of sins will be preached. Ministry. What are the similar things that happened around this area? Matthew 28, verse 18. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. 19. Go therefore and teach all nations. 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you even unto the end of the age. So the ministry, that's ministry. Ministering to others. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. It appears like the things that the apostles wrote down that Jesus said upon the resurrection was about ministry. Right? But the things they wrote down before he died, John particularly, was about the neighbor. Who's following this? Is that very clear? So, in looking at that spirit upon, we must know that we are dealing with ministry. Ministry. So, those things that were said, so we can say, what are the things Jesus said upon his resurrection about ministry? We'll put Acts 1:8 together, right? Luke 24, 47 to 49. We'll put Mark 16, 15 to 20. They'll put Matthew 28, 18 to 20. We'll put them together, right? Come on. So that'll be around the same scenario. Good. Then John 20. John 20. Verse 22. No, verse 21. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Same thing. Is that the same thing? Is that the same thing? Mark 16, 15, same thing here. Mark 28, same thing. Is that the same thing? Acts 1, 8. Acts 1, 8. Luke 24, 49. Very good. So, the Spirit upon will now be seen as the demonstrations of the Holy Ghost through the believer. It's not the Holy Ghost coming on the believer. Do you get it? Is this getting clear? It's the demonstrations of the Holy Ghost through the believer. So, his last words upon his resurrection was about the work of the ministry. Precisely, reaching the unsaved. And also, as we are going to see, the work of the ministry. Generally. Now, look at Numbers again. Numbers 11, where you have the word upon used technically for the very first time. Numbers 11. I'll pick from 17. And I'll come down and talk with thee there, and I'll take of the Spirit. Please don't forget this. Which is upon you. I will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, and thou shalt not bear it alone. Now, notice the word upon. Same word we are using so far, epi. Then in verse 25. And Lord came down in a cloud and spoke unto him and took off the Spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, what did they do again? They prophesied. So it's an action of the man. They prophesied and did not cease. When the Spirit is upon a man, don't forget we are using vocabulary here. It doesn't do like this. It is something a man does that is called the Spirit upon. Look at they prophesied, which is the word Nabah, N-A-B-A, where you have, where it's from prophets, Nabai, N-A-B-I. The first time the word Nabai is used, now the word Nabai is for prophets, is used 316 times. The first time you see it used is in Genesis 20 verse 7, where Abraham was called a prophet. Now precisely Exodus 7:1, I want us to read that one together. Exodus 7:1. The Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. The word prophet there means spokesperson. He will speak on your behalf. He will speak as though they are the one talking. So go back to Numbers 11. And they spoke like spokesmen. But look at another issue here. When the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. And actually did cease is the right word. They did cease. They stopped. So, obviously, the Spirit did not stay on them, no doubt. Obviously, the issue with the Spirit upon is an outward ministry, an outflow. Something you do to others is the word upon. Something you wear, as we have seen the word cloth, something you do to others. So why use the word upon? Now, notice the word Spirit. The word Spirit is unseen and unheard. Ruach in the Hebrew and pneuma in the Greek. The first mention will be Genesis 1:2. And the earth was without form and void, tohu bohu, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, what is the movement? How would you say the Spirit moved? The Spirit moved is God said. Is it clear? Is that very clear? Is God said. So when you say something is unseen, unheard, unperceived, we now see it upon when a voice is heard. When a voice is heard. So Spirit upon is human activity. Let me see if you're following this. Come on. Are you following this? It's human activity. So, when Jesus was saying that, the audience understood what he was talking about. Of course, it's not when the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, I will dance like David danced. You know? We have made a mess of that terminology. It is an activity primarily of speaking, not only speaking. But primarily of speaking in the Old Testament. Where what is not seen is heard. Or the person not seen is heard or perceived via a man's actions. So the Spirit upon is a man's action. The Spirit within is God's action. Is it clear? So the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters is that God what said? His words. So the Spirit's movements and the Spirit's actions are found in what? Words. Let's go back to that Luke 24. Look at the background. You know, what Luke wrote here, let's perceive this. This is verse 44. And he said unto them, you see, language can be very difficult. The way it appears here is, he said unto them, almost like they just spent, let's look at it, you know, I'm teaching a basic rule of Bible interpretation. Let's assume that this is what he meant, literally. So as he touched his body and said, this is the Lord, it's not the Lord. So he just got up and said to them, pay attention, no? These are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you. That all things will be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the Psalms, prophets and the Psalms, concerning me. Verse 45. As he made those statements, as he said these words in verse 44, then their minds were opened. How would that open your mind? Then he now said to them, so their mind will open in like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, if you're a big door, 10 minutes. Then you now say, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Are you listening? Are you aware of these things? Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, and your tithes of your will be endued power from on high. Say, let's go. And so, for the other 39 days of the 40 days, they were playing golf. So, this is a summary of something that happened within how many days? But something happened. That means, pay attention here now. As he taught them in 45, he opened their understanding. The word dianogio, which means that for the first time ever, their mind was snapped. Oh, that they might understand the scriptures. So that means the new birth had happened. So everything he was saying to them in John 14 happened in 45. So at that point, when he was done explaining his resurrection to them, this is a word of faith, I want to ask you a question. They believed. Right? Okay. Now, having believed, what now happened to them? The Father became resident where? In them. Okay, so upon the new birth, then he now said to them, that is, after they had now been born again, he now says to them, so it is written that Christ must die and suffer. By 46, 47, what was he talking to them about? Ministry. He was not talking ministry. 45 had resolved their faith issues. Are you following this? So 46 to 48 and 49 was now ministry, the ministry of the gospel or the ministry of the church. So 46 to 49, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Mark 16, 15 to 20, John 20, 21, and 22, 23, they are all in the same scenario. So the new birth had happened at that point. The new birth had happened. It opened their understanding that they might understand. Now, having done that, look at verse 52. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Okay? They are born again. So, the same thing in Acts 1. By the time he said to them in Acts 1, you shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Where was the Holy Ghost when he made that statement? Exactly. The Holy Ghost was in them. When he made the statement of Acts 1:8, the Holy Ghost was in them. When he said, you shall receive power You shall receive. No. I sent the promise of my Father upon you. Where was the Father? Huh? In. Are these folks realized that well enough? Not yet. When he said that, the Father was in. When he said the Holy Ghost, from what we had read now, before now, the Holy Ghost was already resident in them. So those were words of ministry. Again, let's get back to our terms. The word upon means what? Huh? To walk through me, a demonstration through me. So, pay attention, please. Look at John 20. He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, notice the word them. The first them is italicized. So, he breathed on, just one word. And the word breathed here is the word empusaho. E-M-P-H-U-S-A-O. E-M-P-H-U-S-A-O. There's a verb in there, which is the word P-H-U-O. Verb is a verb. It means to spring up. To spring up. So, emphasis means that it costs something to spring up in them. Luke 8:6 and Luke 8:8 and Hebrews 12:15 is the word fool. So, you will know that, obviously, Luke 24:45 and John 20:22, the same thing. Look at this now. Let's go back there. John 20. And when he said these to them, he breathed on. He caused them to come alive. Or he opened their understanding. When he said this, don't forget that these are summative words. That means after he has spent time talking to them about the gospel, then their minds opened. So, what he was saying in John 20 was a summary of a series of things he said to them over a while. So, what did Thomas miss out? Verse 25. Thomas therefore said unto them, we have seen the Lord. He said to Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, I trust my hand, I will not believe. After 8 days, again disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then Jesus came to us and said, peace be unto you, reach either your finger. He said, don't be faithless, but believing. Now look at 29. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. So what happened earlier was that they what? Believed. Who's following this? Ha. So that he breathed on is talking about their understanding of his resurrection, which is faith. Look at this in verse 31. Okay, verse 30. And many other times through the Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son and the Son of God, and that believing you may have what? Life through his name. So that faith births life through his name. So therefore, pay attention. John 20. It caused them to understand, John 20, 23, breathe on, emphasize, and then said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. We'll come to that shortly. The word receive is the word lambano, to take. That's not the new birth. Come on. Is that clear? Is that the new birth? No. Take from. Where was the Holy Ghost when he said that? Huh? So he said, whatsoever sins you remit are what? That's the ministry. Who's following this? Uh-huh. When he said that, the Holy Ghost was resident within them. But someone said, but they were not all together. It's the same thing with Peter. He met Peter too privately. These are just summaries of what happened in 40 days. You can't expect them to write another synoptic on the 40 days. The ones that have even written is causing enough trouble. We have another one for the 40 days. You'll say, you're sorry about the 40 days. You just have some churches. Church of Jesus Christ, 40 days. Look, I mean, what we call Christmas today is eyewitness accounts. Some people will be celebrating Christmas. Let's even permit it as the permissive will of God. And they will now put baby in the manger. When you do birthday, do you put your baby picture there? And they will use their mouth to say 2,000 years ago. Can a 2,000 years person be in a manger? 2,000 years ago. Look at the, I mean, look at what the an eyewitness account. And religion likes it. Religion likes it too. Religion likes the fact that, you know, it came peace to all men. Therefore, all religions should come together. But when you now say, he rose from the dead, there's trouble. He's alive. Still some trouble. Say, he lives in me. Please stop talking. You get it? So you have, a lot of eyewitness, people like the eyewitness account part. When I was in primary school, now, we acted all this Jesus in the manger. You put a palm front, and everybody walks in, and they say, who is the baby? And I suggest that children churches should stop teaching those things. It's not good. Particularly these days that children are now more advanced in the way they think. And say, so that's what we come to do in church. Away in the manger, no crib for a bed, the little child. So why is it not in children's church? If it is little child, Jesus. So obviously they took those things together and they shortened it. So they said, but why? Well, everything that Jesus taught that told them in 40 days are found in the book of Acts and in the epistles. So that's not a problem. Now look at this. So where do you receive from? Do you receive from the spirit outside or from the spirit within? So the spirit upon is a benefit of the new birth. So ministry is our right and privilege. It's a benefit of the new birth. You receive from the indwelling. The indwelling is perfect. You receive from the indwelling. Don't forget the word receive, lambano, means to take from. So what you are taking from is in the new birth. So we receive from the new birth to pour out. We receive from the new birth. Don't forget the word receiving is not the way you do like this. You know, you receive. Say, I receive. I receive. Receiving means receive. You get it? This is the action. To take from. So, you are taking from the new birth. Is it clear? Okay. So, this receiving is the outpouring. So, you can say, the new birth makes available the spirit upon. So, let's go to Acts 2. So the book of Acts is about to show us the receiving. You see that is why the epistles do not deal with that receiving. The epistles cannot, because the receiving, or better still, the outpouring is for the world. What Jesus said the believer will grow in is that he will know that I am in and you are in. So that's why the epistles could never have used the word upon. Who's following that? Are you following that? So, a knowledge, a proper knowledge of the Spirit within will produce the actions called the Spirit upon. When you recognize it well, what will flow out of it will be the Spirit upon. Watch this now. Acts 2. Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Is this the new birth or the Spirit upon? Okay. So, being filled with the Spirit means to be influenced by the Spirit. Filled with anger. Filled with love. That means you put out love. You put out anger. You put out the Spirit. So, where was the Spirit before Acts 2:1-4? Very good. They were now filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the question is this. Do you know that there is no other instance where, let me put this there, but look at Acts 2 again. Let's go back there. And Peter now calls it, the last day said, God, I'll pour out of my Spirit. That was why the word pour out of now came. I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. I saw the word I is silence. Or out of my Spirit will pour upon all flesh. Do you get it? Where is the Spirit? The Spirit is within the man. It's not a second action of God. No. It's not God's second action after the new birth. It is the man's born again action. Let me see how they're following this. It's the man born again action that is called the outpouring of the Spirit. Look at how Peter addressed that in verse 36. That he, now, what did Peter do? Peter did exactly what Jesus did. Of course, they were asking questions. Peter just took them back to Christ's death. And got their minds to focus on the death of Jesus, on his burial, and then the fact that he has ascended. And when he was done with that, see what he didn't do. He didn't try to be explaining the things of the Spirit to you, and then you see, the Greek word is charisma. He just took the attention back. Because what happened in that upper room was for the church. Come on. Is that clear? What happened in that upper room? This is what I'm saying. What happened in Solomon's porch was for the church. He's not evangelist. Some say, well, God gave them languages so that they will be preaching. Were they preaching in anybody's language? See, someone said, new tongues is when you go to a nation, God will give you the tongue of that nation. Tell me somebody you know who suddenly landed in Nigeria from nowhere, did not learn the language, and preached 2-hour sermon. Tell me somebody you know. Just story. No. It's not true. Say no. Tongues has to be in someone's language. You know, thank God for Paul. Imagine if Paul didn't write 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. The kind of stress will have been under. For by reason of whatever, the word interpretation of tongues did not come up. How is the tongues in somebody's language? He's speaking tongues. He must be somebody's language. He's the person's language. In what language? Say good. That means that if we are all from the same place, we can't speak with tongues. Say, no, that one is different. That one, the tongues must be interpreted. Don't confuse yourself. You yourself need interpretation. Do you understand? Of course, you know, the old English of diverse kinds of tongues, which is actually just one word, genus, glossolalia, that is kind of tongues, tribal tongues, unique tongues, has also confused people. Say tongues of angels, tongues of men. Say what tongues of angels? Eloi, Eloi, Masabakhtani. Just a figure of speech. So, look at what he did. When they now heard about Christ crucified, he says, look at 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Who received of the Father? Who received? Who was supposed to have received since? The church. Shed for this that you now will see and hear. So it's the church that received the promise. It's the folks in Acts 2, 1 to 4 that received. Acts 1, 4, you shall receive. Luke 24, you know, you shall be clothed upon. Good. What shall we do? They say in 38, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's what? The new birth, right? And you shall what? You shall take from or take off the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Just like Jesus taught them. After the new birth, take off the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Doron or Doria. Acts 8. Verse 12. And when they had believed, preaching the things of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and wonders, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Look at 14. I want to show you something quickly. Now when the apostles that were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Look at 15. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, he uses two different words there. And you see why. Samaria had received. The first word receive is to welcome. Decomai. D-E-C-O-M-A-I. That is, I brought something to you. Please listen to this. If you missed anything, don't miss one. Welcome means I brought something to you. I brought it to you. The way we and you do your hand like this, and then you are in a position to receive what I'm saying. You open your door. You get it? And I came in. Jesus used that in Matthew 10, 14, and verse 40. He that receives you to welcome. Doesn't mean you believe. Just means you welcome. You open the door for the person to enter. And 41. But by the time he got to 15, he now uses the word that they might receive. That is lambano. Now, lambano is whose action? Your action. That they might take off the Holy Ghost. Verse 16. For he was falling upon none of them, only upon the name of the Lord Jesus. And when they laid their hands on them, they received of the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying of the hands of the apostles, the Holy Ghost was given, they offered money. So that receiving is what people will want. Is it clear now? Something will be seen. The receiving is an action. You saw it. It seemed to be, and I'll probably look at this later, that receiving of the Holy Ghost seems to stir up the believer in the art of preaching. Seems to embolden him, to stir him in reaching. That's why T.L. Osborne would say this, of course, in his own way, that he believes that the Acts 1:8 is for evangelism. Well, it's possible. Plausible to think that way. You know, okay, it does something to the man in the preaching of the gospel. But look at this. So they received. So he saw. When it comes to people receiving of the Holy Ghost, there will be things to hear and things to see. Because the Spirit upon is whose action again? Is my action. That means the Spirit being demonstrated on the account of what I've done. Upon means on the account of what I do. So he says, he saw. Then he said to them in 19, give me this power. Whosoever I lay hands on, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Then Peter said, your money pays with thee. Thou hast thought that the gift of God may purchase money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. The word matter there is utterance. So he calls it the gift of God. By purchase with money. So obviously, you can see that the outpouring came from the new birth. It came from the new birth. With no doubt, you know, we need to educate people. Educate them. And let them see. It's important for people not to think that the Holy Ghost is now coming from God. No. In the sense of from somewhere. It is the Spirit within you. That when you are speaking with tongues, someone was telling me that the first time she spoke in tongues, that she just went to one church, they said she'd come out. That, me, I didn't see God do anything, you know. That's what she said. That I didn't see God do anything. That I just, when it got to a point, I just had to say what was in my mind. But she said, I knew inside me that was not God. That is a very, very critical mind. Now, how did you receive the gospel? How did you get born again? Did you see God do anything inside you? That's a very, very critical mind. You see God do anything. When you came out for water, except your sorrow for sin or your fear of hell, there was nothing strange about your feeling. It just came out. I mean, some of us even can be doubting people's salvation the way they will come out. Or some of the way people will say, ah, Pastor, I preached to somebody today. Some people will ask me, Pastor, I preached. I don't know. I didn't lead them into prison. You have taught us. So they want to make you feel somebody. You've taught us. So I didn't ask the person to say after me or long prayer. But sir, I don't want to be sure. What is doubting your doubt? That they really saved somebody I did not take. You believe? Yes, I do. Say after me. What does that say after me for? So that you can be sure that the man will not be in hell. Lord Jesus, I've heard you today. I believe. I've been a sinner. And the guy just does an incantation after you. So I said to her, look, the fact that your mind felt somehow. So what I was saying was gibberish. I said, exactly. In fact, that's how your mind should be when you spoke with tongues the first time. That's how it should be. He said, your understanding is unfruitful. A poor understanding is unfruitful in 1 Corinthians 14. What was in Acts 9? No land to even be unfruitful. Hey! You're feeling silly. Because you're actually silly. It's foolishness to you. What's this that you are doing ahead? This thing that you are doing. This, hey. It's not true. It's not true. So, you know, that we need to explain to people well. You know, there's some things we have said, heavenly language, prayer language, you know. A lot of things have been said that just say, well, there's this, and because people are hardly taught what it means, even after many years in the faith. It's easy for anybody. For example, E.W. Kenyon was very, 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 he had very little light on the things of the Spirit. Very little light. Very little light. You will discover that people will just, you just start doubting because you have not been well taught. You are not well taught. So that can happen. Don't forget again, the Spirit upon is man's action. Look at Acts 10. This is Cornelius' house. Let's unbundle something quickly here. Verse 44. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. Now the way, and you know, there's a way we preach this, I also do, that we may carelessly be saying something that we are not saying. That Peter was still preaching, as he was preaching, Jesus died for your sins, and all that, we are just saying, what's going on here? That would be strange because it must come from a new birth. There must have been a new birth. But notice what it didn't say. It didn't say that Peter was speaking, they just responded in tongues. No. Watch it. Verse 44. Them that heard. The word heard is the word akouo, A-K-O-U-O. Used 430 times. It means to heed to what you have said. It's the same word in Romans 10:17. Faith is by what? Hearing. Okay? And that hearing is the gospel. So that means that those folks in the house of Cornelius, for them to say they heeded to the word, that means that Peter and those around him, they had seen faith present. So they had believed. Not that they believed that nobody knew, they knew. That's why they said they heard the word. They heeded to the word akouo. That is, they believed. They heeded. They responded. Akouo is a response to the word. It's not just that you listen to what somebody is saying or you heard what he said the way I'm hearing you. You are hearing me now. It means they heeded to it. Now, follow this. So that means faith was present. So again, just like we say, the sermon that was put here between verse 34 and 43 will be a summary. And a summary of the events that happened. Look at Acts 11. So as Peter, go back to Acts 10. As Peter yet spoke these words, so he said many things. What's there is the word logos. No, I think it's rhema, sorry. As he was saying these things, explaining the gospel to them, their response is what he called, they heard the word. You know, you can, and he goes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You would have said, I believe. You will see that there was nowhere in the book of Acts where there was any particular response from anybody. In Acts 2, just said, repent and baptize. How they repented, we're not told. They believed, they were added to the church. Are you following what I'm saying? Acts 4, Acts 5, same thing. You know, how they, just said they believed. In the jailer's house, same thing. The only person who said something was the Enoch. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He was the only one that said something. Every other person did not say anything. It was just what the apostles recorded. They believed. They heeded. They repented. They turned. So there were different phrases used for salvation. Who's following what I'm saying here? So it's not that tongues was their response to the gospel. No. So when you go and preach, somebody just speaks in tongues and you're preaching. I'm not saying he's not born again. I'm just saying that that's not Cornelius' case. That's what I'm going to say about that. As he spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the word. Now, the Holy Ghost falling upon is whose actions again? Yeah. And when they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Look at Acts 11. Who shall tell thee these words, whereby thou and all your house shall be saved? As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. At the beginning. Verse 11. For as much then that God gave them the like gifts as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus, who was I that could withstand God? Let's see something Peter said in Acts 15 about that scenario. So it all makes sense. Acts 15, verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and what? And believe. Not and speak in tongues, though. And believe. And God, which knows the hearts, bore them witness. Bore them witness of what? Their faith. Are you there? Giving them the Holy Ghost as well as us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. So, Peter knew that they had believed. Acts 19. Again, he saw silent disciples. That's why he asked that question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That is, have you taken from the Holy Ghost? He was not asking them whether they were born again. So receiving the Holy Ghost is not the same as being saved. Can you see it? Oh, good. We have not muttered unto them any Holy Ghost. Then he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? He said, unto John's baptism. Then he said, John's very baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Then they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Is that the new birth? And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So they believed. And then the Holy Ghost came on them. So therefore, the new birth produces the Spirit upon. Now hear this as we close on this. The new birth is once. Complete and perfect. But the Spirit upon is continuous. The new birth is once. It happens once. But the Spirit upon is a continuous action of the man that is born again. So, in our next time, we'll look at that time again, Spirit upon. We'll look at it. I want us to actually draw some parallels, as it were, and some examples as well from the Old Testament. And see what the word upon, really, what it means. How much of our actions, you know, are referred to. And how the epistles handle it. So, like we said, I'm closing here, that when you look at the epistles, therefore, and you see that the epistles focus on know, one of the things you will know is also how the Spirit is upon. And Paul will call those things charisma. So, the new birth is what God did. Alright? The Spirit upon is what we do with what God has done. Hope that's clear.